Look, no one's ever gonna take up that invite of getting on a call with you. They, nine times out of ten, they don't, because they just want to get their point across.
Looking at the people behind the security profession. This is now the new home of the human side of security with Lee Orton and Tim Wenzel, security professionals and co-founders of the Kindness Games.
In any industry, to be honest, and it's not just focused in the security industry, we often have difficult conversations. We're often thrown into situations which could be perceived as aggressive or high energy. And it's how do we bob and weave, as you've just said, go with the punches. It's finding in situations like that, I always love to find out, well, what was the trigger? What triggered them? Why are they speaking to me in that way? Because otherwise, if you don't try and find that way, you could also find yourself stepping into an aggressive mood or mode yourself. What do we think?
Exactly. And I think we have to start at the point of first contact, right? You enter a meeting, conversation, whatever, and all of a sudden, and you're like, whoa, 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 what's going on? Didn't even know this was going to happen today. How do you deal with that in the moment to keep calm and work towards the best type of outcome, right? Because we could all get aggressive and try to dominate that situation. We could all run away, say, I'm not going to deal with this right now. But in personal relationships or professional relationships, those two extremes are probably not very helpful, right? So my point of view is, before you're in that situation, you need to make the decision for yourself, how will I react in those situations? Because if you pre-make that decision, then you can just start to move in that direction. This is like training in warfare, right? Like training in combat. You train to make a bunch of decisions before it ever happens so that you know what you're going to do and you can start the ball rolling. The first decision I like to make is, this really has nothing to do with me. It's not about me at all. I didn't start this, as far as I'm aware. And if I did, most likely, I didn't know I did. I didn't mean to, because I wouldn't be stepping into it unaware. So this is not about me. I'm not trying to save face. I am not trying to defend myself. I'm trying to keep a logical mindset and ask a few questions to reinforce that logical mindset, to keep me out of that fight or flight mode, and to engage that person in a more logical conversation. That's my go-to.
Yeah, when you're in a great state, you can, lock your future self into, a good state, I suppose. when this happens, my run book is, my SOP, don't shout back. Don't fight back necessarily. But Lee, I guess how do we make sure that we obey our own rules? If, let's say, someone's coming at us online, we get a lot of online communication at the moment, sometimes phone. Mm. It's I guess we know what we'd do if someone came face to face with us. We'd probably find an exit, right? But online, it's retaliating with your keyboard. Very difficult.
Yeah, no, great question. I love what Tim said. And I think you can use this exactly the same when you're communicating virtually and digitally, by saying, well, it's not me. It's them. They're the reason why they're a little bit hot under the collar. I'm going to use like examples of emails. I'm not a fan of emails. Never have been. Never ever will be. I prefer the face to face, or pick up the phone and let's have a conversation. I always find that people want to express their grievances through an email, right? And they get extremely hot under the collar, and you can see them flexing their muscles through their words. And you can just know like how aggressive and angry that they're getting just by that email that you've received. And they always want to be right. in an email. With me, I completely diffuse it straight away. And I would reply a lot back, for example, today, hey, good morning, happy Wednesday, how are you doing, right? Completely diffuse it straight away. And then all of the negative elements that they're putting in there, again, I would be like, moving forward, right? This is what we need to do. Hey, are you available for a call? Again, diffusing everything there. That's what I love to do. Me and Tim have talked about this a lot, about haters, which is a completely different conversation, but it does have a segue.
It's some of the same feel, right? Like whether you're super upset or you're a coward, just throwing grenades online. I have had zero of them agree to meet me on Zoom or at a coffee shop.
Never do.
They never reply. Yeah. Shut down.
And I guess that's a good defense, isn't it? Because imagine someone once said that no matter. I never really thought about this, but no matter what someone says, if you respond in your email first with thank you, it gives you time to process what you're about to say. Like, you stink. Thank you. I'm working on my personal hygiene. You know what I mean? Like, as long as you give yourself pause time.
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean that's the key, right? And I think in a lot of these situations here is taking that moment, right? Having, inserting that pause so that again you can collect yourself and then realize again, saying what Tim did, it's about them, right? It's not about you. Look, no one's ever gonna take up that invite of getting on a call with you. They 9 times out of 10 they don't, because they just want to get their point across. Okay, great, I got your point. Thank you. It's all good. But I don't allow it to infect me. I don't allow it to change my emotion or maneuver me or influence how I feel. But again, I've worked a lot on this over the years now. I'm extremely deliberate with how I show up, how I present myself. Not everybody likes who I am, but again, that's not me. That's not my fault, right? That's on you. That's how you perceive me. I am who I am. I love to be genuine. I love to be thoughtful in everything I do. But I certainly also, I want to explore. So when I do say, hey, let's have a call, I want to know what's got you hot under the collar, right? Why are you expressing yourself? Because one of the things, or one of my superpowers, is to help others. That's what I love to do. And I guarantee if I do get on that call with you, I'll probably be able to help you with what's going on.
And I think you skipped over, because you have this built into you already, but you skipped over a really important topic. Insecurity. We all want to be important or professional or respected, and we allow negative interactions, which actually, even though an interaction starts negative, it does not have to finish that way. However, if you give up your insecurity and your belief that, oh, they're undercutting my authority, I need to reassert my authority, or they don't think that I'm at the top of my game, or I'm smart, or any of these other imposters that we have, in our back pocket that are always messing with us. And that whole reflex to reestablish what I want people to think about me, just like Lee was alluding to, we are who we are. You can't make everyone happy ever. Sometimes you're going to get into an interaction or an engagement in your professional or personal life that you really want to go well, and it's just not going to happen because you have a hard time connecting with certain types of people, or certain types of people have a hard time dealing with your personality or how you are. And that is not a bad thing. It's actually an impossibility to get along with everyone. So if we can actually understand who we want to be in every situation and not try to defend or reassert our image upon other people, that goes a long way into being able to have that meeting and have a very thoughtful conversation that's not defensive. And it's not offensive either, because we're not also trying to tear them down to be below us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it allows them to
100%.
save face, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'll share with you an interaction I had recently. I was being screened for something, and the individual on the other end was extremely flat and introverted, and the conversation was very quiet and not forthcoming, right? However, I didn't allow that conversation to continue like that. I inserted myself into the conversation in the positive, energetic way that I am. So that again is a framework that's been instilled into me that I'm not going to allow others steer me in a direction that I don't want to go, right? I am going to insert myself. And the way that I do is always kind, respectful, positive, with enlightening energy, and that's the way I do it. Now, after I did that, the way that they responded and communicated to me was they matched my level, but I had to pull them to where I needed them to be, which I found extremely strange because they were screening me, not the other way around.
You know, there's another dynamic to that too. Sometimes when people come at you in a way that you perceive as aggressive, so when we show up in any situation, a good presenter or storyteller will set the stage to facilitate the storyline, right? And so often we intentionally create an imbalance with our audience to make them curious and want to join our storyline, to understand what we have to convey. Not malicious, but people who don't understand how to do that, but know that they need to keep you off balance to be able to take a position of dominance, especially people from government, military backgrounds, corporate backgrounds, they will kind of throw the first salvo to catch you off balance so that they can move the conversation directly to where they want to be talking about, rather than setting the stage with a proper storyline to bring everyone into alignment so that they can have the conversation they want to have. A lot of times it's a learned behavior from toxic environments, or it's just somebody who doesn't understand how to actually impact people and mindsets in an appropriate way.
I think I've seen an example of that, Tim.
Really?
I don't think I've ever told anyone that I've seen this. But I don't like what I saw. Okay, let me preface that. I don't like what I saw. There was, I used to work in the Middle East. There was a gentleman from the Middle East, could have been from anywhere. He just happened to be from there, and he said, "Pelham, let me show you how how the world works." And I thought, oh, this is quite deep. And why is he trying to impress me with this? He got a waiter, and he started berating the waiter for no reason. But he just kind of listed a bunch of things. And he got the waiter to be very sad and apologetic. And then a little bit later, he called him over and he suddenly said, "Hey, but you're all right. I'll forgive all of those fictitious things that I just blamed you for." And by the end of it, the waiter was doing all sorts of nice things to him and trying to be nice and trying to be helpful outside of a work context. And I was like, this is wrong. But it kind of speaks to what you said.
We call that domestic violence in the United States.
Yeah.
That's the abuser mentality.
Yeah,
You
exactly.
make somebody feel so destroyed, so inept, so incapable of anything that they really try to get any grace or praise from you. And that is a common tactic because people don't understand how to lead through a positive manner. Sad.
Yeah, I think I've also heard it termed as laying stick about. You've got to lay some stick about. Catch people off guard.
That's them just trying to take you off that they're actually an abuser. That's an abuser mindset is what they're doing.
But to be fair, right? taking people off guard is a very effective way to communicate and bring them into alignment with you, right? So when Lee and I and the Kindness Games teach storytelling, we talk about exactly how to do this. You ask a question that you know your audience cannot answer. I do it all of the time with executives. Why? Am I trying to manipulate executives? No, not necessarily. But they have very short attention spans and a very concise amount of time. And so I need to find the quickest way, the hook, to pull them into my mindset so that I can deliver my message quickly to their undivided attention to get them to a decision point. And there's one thing that executives in business can't stand is being asked a question within their realm that they can't answer. And pose the question. And a lot of times I say, hey, you know what? I just need a few minutes with you. I have one question for you. If you can answer it, awesome, meeting over. If you can't, we'll discuss it. Almost, it's so funny. They can't really not take that meeting. And then you ask the question, you know they can't answer it, but they're intrigued. And they're like, okay, this is interesting. Why don't I know the answer to this question? I feel like I should know the answer to this question. And you're like, well, here's why. And then they're in sync with your mind. They're on your storyline. You can quickly get them to the crux of the matter, followed by the decision point, because the whole reason you're doing that is to bring them to a place of action. Sounds to make like a decision technique. Or to say, okay, you know what? We actually need more information, more context to make an appropriate decision. Let's bring in the other stakeholders. But a lot of people don't understand how to do that, how to facilitate that type of hook well. So they kind of use abusive tactics.
So yeah, this went from someone having a bad day shouting at you and ducking and weaving and diving and to this, which I think reveals it's much more widespread. But maybe it reveals that there's multiple reasons to duck and weave or bob and weave. And I remember that Derek. Do either of you know the magician Derren Brown?
Not me, mate.
Okay, so imagine like a Houdini, Derren Brown, like he's a hypnotist, all that. He said that he once someone tried to mug him, but he totally bamboozled them because they said, "Give me your money," and he said, "The wall outside my house is 4 foot high," and that gave him enough time to run away because somehow, I mean, I don't know, but somehow that statement confused people and interrupted their pattern of aggression. Are there other ways to interrupt patterns of aggression? I think you spoke about it in storytelling, but maybe that's a helpful thing to look at.
Yeah, storytelling is.
Yeah, storytelling is a good way. That 4 foot wall thing is like somebody came into a high stress situation. The robbery is a high stress situation for the robber and for the victim. And they're like, this is going to move on a very linear path along one or two paths, compliance or non-compliance, right? And to throw a question like that, when you're already in that fight mindset, like, what are you talking about? It completely destroys your path. You have no idea what to do. And you see it a lot with crimes that go bad just because unexpected things happen that in that tense situation, like the aggressor can't wrap their head around it.
Any other tips, Lee? Because I think we can fight back without fighting back. It's like verbal judo. You know, all the police, they get, I've not got a straight answer on this, but I want to know if police actually get a book called Verbal Judo and they read it and they learn how to do verbal judo. We've got to get a
book. I used to have that book.
Yeah. Because
they have conflict management, don't they? That, I mean, that's obviously what they probably call it. And I imagine that's the Bible that they work from. I mean, what we do every day, kindness. That would be another way, is lead them with kindness, understanding, also empathy. Again, for try and lead into it and say, I don't know, you having a bad day? Do you want to talk? What's going on? What why has pushed you to the position that you feel that you need to talk to me in this manner. So I'm going to put something out here. So I've been coaching someone recently, and it's two friends that have actually got into a bit of a spat. And I've been trying to sit in the middle, right? Not take a side, try and understand the points from both sides here and understand why they position themselves like they did. And again, you usually find, and again, this goes back to right what we said at the beginning, that the problem lays with the individual aggressor, that they're just having a bad day, right? That there are other elements that are going on in their life. I don't know, dog's just died. You know, their father's extremely sick, or, you know, they've got divorced, or they're going through a breakup. There's always some kind of trigger happening in the background. And that's usually the root cause that has pushed them to enter into that conversation in the manner that they have with you. So that's why, and I am repeating myself a little bit what I said at the beginning, but for me, I always want to know what's going on. And when I coach people or have opportunity to have those conversations, that's where I'm going. Well, what's really going on? Yeah, why are you making these mistakes at work? It's got nothing to do with you professionally, because actually you're really good. You're really good at what you do in the workplace, right? You've got all the right skills, attributes, etc. You're experienced, but something is triggering this to push you and act in that manner in the workspace. What's going on at home? I'm exhausted. Or it could be a team. The team is not performing how you want it to perform, right? Okay, how do you solve that? Conversation. A lot of leaders are great at that, right? Managers are not, right? Because they don't know how to engage with that. Leaders, you know, we would either pull in team collectively. Hey, and the way that I would lead into that, you know, if my team was not performing, what am I doing wrong? I'm the captain of the ship. This sits on my shoulders, right? Why are you guys not showing up? What is the genuine challenge issue here? What should we talk about? Empower that conversation. Yeah, you could even let it go a little bit where people might say, hey, so-and-so didn't do this. I'd be very careful with that, though, that didn't get into a bitching match. But I do want to foster that healthy environment so it becomes constructive. Okay, so-and-so didn't do that. Hey, so-and-so, why didn't we do that? Like, why did, you know, always I would put, like what Tim said beginning, I'd always put a story to the front. This is my objective, right? This is what I want to do here. I'm going to leave a real open space, and I'm also going to allow for you guys to talk openly about my performance, right? And we as a team are going to give each other constructive feedback, how we believe we can help one another to successfully move forward, right? So with me, I'm always flipping the narrative, right? And I always believe, like, if you come at me negatively, I can switch it straight away, right? I hold that power, right? I have the power to decide how I want to respond to you, right? So it's all about a switch. And it's exactly the same in every conversation. But you need to build that platform first before you can enter into that healthy conversation. If you don't share with them what the objectives, what the goals of that conversation, guess what? You're going to have a fight straight away, right? People are going to go about it. It's the nature of humans. Humans love to be right. Humans love right. to embarrass others, right? That's the nature of it. So if you know that, you can actually implement a safety net right before you enter into that. If you don't, then I also ask, maybe you're looking for something nefarious here, right? Maybe you're looking for people to start fighting. I don't want that, because for me, it's not healthy whatsoever. It's not going to be productive, and you're not going to get to the result that you need to.
Such a good point. if we make the decision about how we want to interact with people when we feel accosted, when they come out throwing the punches and we're bobbing and weaving, we should also pre-decide where we want to lead and leave that conversation. And I think you're absolutely right. Even if we say it's not about me, if we don't make that last decision, we'll want to lead it back to the place that we're right, or that we're reinforced, or that we're at least on like level ground. Or we want to conclude it right there. And sometimes concluding business or personal issues right there when emotions have just been high is a bad idea. You need time to gain perspective. So I always like to think, I want to lead this. I want to survive the battle intact and leave this to the next interaction. So wherever we can get to the point of, I've heard you, and finding points where I agree with you, if possible, and getting to the place to where we're saying like, okay, here's where we should leave this, and the next step is this. And then it creates space and time for everybody to calm down, to gain context, to do research, and to gain perspective, to have a healthier and more intentional conversation the next time. Now, actually, should we talk about that next conversation? Because I feel like you can't really address this until you do. So now you have that gap. You know what the issues were and why, hopefully, they were issues and they were affecting this person in this way. So now you can do some research. What part have I played in it? What is my role in this? If it's a work thing, what work issues are involved? And then going into the next conversation, you get the chance to own your presence, right? You get to say, okay, I want to show up looking like this, sounding like this, creating this feeling around me to facilitate the conversation that I want to have. And what's the best way to open that up? Should I show up prepared now because I was unprepared the first time and be like, all right, here's all the stuff? Well, you could, and you may be right, but could that throw them off balance and fall back to the previous position of, oh, now they're trying to come after me? I like to show up prepared for two or three scenarios. Either, hey, do you want me to walk you through everything as far as I understand it? And then we can come to a common place where we can make some decisions and decide next steps. Or, do you have something more to say? And those are usually the two options I put on the table. Hey, do you want me to do all of this? Or do you want to start off? Is there a better way to go about this to achieve your outcomes?
And that is probably what the most irate of people will go for. However, they may not be as passionately angry the second time. So they might go, "Well, Tim, you know the and Peter's out."
Well, the other thing is, they probably thought you were going to come prepared to go at them, defend yourself. That's what everybody's prepared for. So even giving them the choice will throw them off of their preparations if they prepared for a fight, right? Oh, I have a choice. And then if you offer them to go first, maybe they've had time, space, they've appreciated context, and they've learn some lessons, they've calmed down. Maybe they say, hey, you know what? I've learned these things. Or I thought about how I approached you and really probably wasn't the best way. You give them the opportunity to kind of do like a little apology and make things right. Or they can say they're off guard. Yeah, no, go ahead and tell me what you've prepared, all of the things that you have. And then the way in which you present it should be very open, conversational. And you should prepare it in stages so that after each topic, you can be like, so where are you at on this? Am I seeing this correctly? Do you have a different perspective? always keeping the door open for them to have input so they're not stressing and stressing and stressing over time and letting that insecurity build up, because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about insecurity generally. There's very few people out there that are actually malicious and want to attack people. It's usually insecurity.
Do you think that Canadians and Brits are especially good at this? Because we'll just say sorry no matter what happened, and it will be a sorry competition.
That
I've never
actually
heard
can
a
be
Brit
like,
say sorry,
we do,
but Canadians, yeah, for sure.
sorry.
So, but that could also be a like a red rag to a bull too, right? Like with me, I don't want you to say sorry, right? You don't need to say sorry, right? We just need to have a thoughtful conversation. I'm not looking for you to apologize, but I am going to contradict myself a little bit here now, because I do use this approach, which I'm about to share with you. I would position myself in that conversation and go, hey, I'm really sorry if I offended you. And if I did, I take accountability right now. Now, I do that for a reason, and I'm going to tell you why I do that. I do that to open that person up, right? Because usually aggressive people, they're so in the zone, right? And then that, but technically what I'm doing is I'm taking the power away from them, giving it to me, right? Because I know that I didn't do any wrong. Technically, I think I don't do any, I didn't do anything wrong. So, but even I'm taking a punt, I'm rolling the dice and going, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't, I don't know what I did, but I'd love to have this conversation with you now. So that's an approach that I often take, because I know where I want to go with it. I know where I want the conversation to the result of it, because I've already had that thought process, right? I've
And you're
already
giving them a
like
little
my
validation. You're seeding a
exactly.
slight bit of ground to say, you know what? There may have been some merit in how this started, which can help them.
Yeah, because like if you think back chronologically too, you may have offended them in the past, right? What are you laughing at?
No, I sneezed and my headset fell off.
All right. So the but like again, think about it like that, especially when you're in the workplace and you've been there a long time. That person might be showing up in an aggressive manner because you offended them, I don't know, 5 years ago, right? And something that you said in the conversation may have triggered something in their head and said, oh, I remember when Lee said that to me back then, right? So I don't know, like obviously the three of us are extremely thoughtful in everything that we do, and the best thing about human side is that we're sharing those experiences, with the audience and with people that actually take the time and listen to this, is that we want you to be more thoughtful in your interactions, and Tim said it a minute ago, more intentional with everything that you do, because we also, the three of us, know the transformation that it's afforded us, and we can actually go on these brilliant journeys with all of the people that are actually within our environments, and we have the ability to influence one another. So, but what, going back to what I said at the beginning of this segment here, I will always use that position, what I shared with you, to diffuse, and as Tim said, give that other individual some validation, even if I don't believe that they should have it. I just want to find a way of how I can stimulate the conversation.
And this practice comes from reflection. So, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, how did you get into leadership? How did you develop your thoughts around all of these things? I said, well, every time I had a really poor outcome, a really bad experience with someone, or I saw something happen in the business setting that I was like appalled at, and I never want that to be me. I never want that to happen with me and my team. I started taking time to reflect and to really try to understand where the nexus was that started that ball rolling. How did all that tension and pain and anger build? Why did they choose to deliver it in that way? Why did the other person choose to react in that way? How did it work out for them? What had to come next? Something always comes next. If you decide that you're going to defend yourself and be right, and you utterly destroy the other person, and everybody's like, wow, you really destroyed the other person. You're absolutely right. You still look like a dick. You won the battle, but you're going to have problems because people are going to adjust how they approach you to that experience, fearing it will happen to them.
Yeah, especially in a work context, you've got to think, do I need this person fired? If I need them fired, I probably want to get HR so I'm not shouting at them and giving them, all this random stuff. It needs to be a clean break. But if I'm not saying goodbye to them, how do I bring them back into the fold? Which is why some leaders very, very, usefully schedule times for feedback unless it's an emergency. In the world of events, some inexperienced managers will, during an event, go, "How come the cups of tea are piled in rows of four and not five?" And they'll completely throw off an operations manager's flow, and they'll go, "How come this person is speaking at 2 o'clock and not 2:30?" It's like, I liken it, you're landing a plane. Yes. You might lose an engine. Yes, you might lose a wheel, but you got to land it, and then you can do the post-game assessment l later. I fear that people who have not, taken the time, as you said, Tim, to sort of consider it and reflect, that they're too quick. My favorite example, also from the Middle East, not my event, was not there, but was reported to me. This guy, it was the most important event anyone had ever done in this field. He was ensuring it was running on schedule to time. The key stakeholder who had the keys and the money and everything was happy. And he was ensuring that it was working really well. Somebody who was his leader tried to get him to look after a speaker who wanted to put a joke on the laptop so he could project a joke on the big screen during the break because it was funny. It was irrelevant. It was not a priority. It was a massive distraction. And had he, not handled that correctly, it could have thrown the whole event. No matter that his manager was telling him to help some guy put a joke up on screen for no reason. I know that's quite a tangent, but do you know what I mean? Like you gotta give people feedback at the right interval. You gotta not throw them off their game unless you want to fire them on the spot, and then that's a different game.
Well, again, in feedback, you've got to be extremely deliberate. Again, when you're thinking about feedback, what's the objectives? What's the goals too? I can tell you, my proactivity in that area, I reach out to a lot of people that I admire and respect, and I say, what do you think about me? And then, as soon as I say that, they're like, holy cow. And I'm like, right, I'm giving you the opportunity here to speak freely, say exactly what you want. Anything that you say to me will not offend me in the slightest. I'm asking you for real critical feedback here so that I can understand where I'm going wrong, what I'm doing right, and what I can do better, right? That's what good leadership is all about. And that's what you should be looking for that. But quite rightly, as you said, it has to come at the right time too. And again, it all comes back to building that framework at the beginning, building that platform, the story. What is this? Yeah, me and Tim go on conversations a lot collectively, right? We both have these extremely strong personalities, but one of us will do the introduction, right? This is what we want to talk about today. Lee has had these conversations with so and so, but now this is Tim's time to have the conversation with you collectively. Everything we do, we always do an introduction, right? So that people know what we want from that conversation, how we want every person to show up and give back, right? Again, it's all about giving back. Every single one of them that's involved in a conversation should always be willing to give back.
Yeah, and over the years we've talked a lot about North Stars. It's kind of my thing. Throw in an idea or an aspiration out there to trend against, to try to achieve something that's often impossible or very difficult to achieve. And when I think about these types of interactions, my North Star, when I reflect on how would I have done this? How should I have done it better? How could I have done it different? My North Star is how could I have done this and maintained my position as being above reproach? I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to fail at projects. Things are not always going to go well. But the track record that you set for when an accusation is made, and people, their tendency to immediately tend to entertain it or immediately tend to say, no, that's not Tim. That's huge. That's the basis of your reputation. So I always want to be above reproach. When accusations are made, people tend to say, it's kind of hard to believe with Tim. And it's not because I'm perfect, far from it. But my intent and the way that I try to do business and manage relationships, they make it easy for people to want to give me the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's a strength that we could all strive towards.
Yeah, let your yes be yes, your no be no, and let people find it hard to believe if someone comes up with something ridiculous about you. And I feel that maybe as a motif for this, I might put up an image of the Angry Giant. You know, the Angry Giant, the storybook, the children's book. He's angry. Turns out he's got a toothache or something. Maybe he's got some other issue. I don't know what. But maybe that's a good motif. I don't know. Something to think of. But we've
Something
all,
for you to ponder.
I know,
Reflect
we
upon.
reflect
Yeah,
upon.
exactly.
Maybe that. Oh no, I'm not going to sing a Disney lyric. We'll get done for copyright. But, and you won't want me singing.
Don't tempt me with a good time. You know I'm down.
Tim was ready.
I just want
Name the
people to
song. Let's go.
know what. When will people? When will my reflection show who I am inside? Ooh.
That's
Anyway,
deep, brother.
yeah, it's not mine, obviously. It's not. So where do we go with this? I think this is good. This is powerful. People need to be able to stop, reflect, think, is it the angry giant? Is it me? What have I done? And hopefully you build a reputation such that the report that you apparently had been abducted by aliens, people will say, no, that doesn't sound like Lee or Tim or Pelham. It doesn't sound like him, right? So you got a bit of a block for reputational damage as well, which I think is key. And maybe we can s tell people to just write the word thank you first before anything else. Just give yourself some breathing room. Good.
Breathe.
Well said. Well said.
All right, namaste. Thanks very much. And what is our mantra at the end of these things again?
Live for the
Something about what?
watchers.
That's it. Live for the watches.
And get security done.
No, we're done with that.
All right. All right. So this has been another fantastic edition of the human side of security.
For more MSS content, please visit mssnetwork.com.